Hello, I'm Brandon Perna, host of That's Good Sports, a 10-minute-ish daily NFL comedy podcast. Have you ever wished for a crappy version of The Daily Show, but only about the NFL? Then, first and foremost, I implore you to dream much bigger. Secondly, I would recommend subscribing to That's Good Sports. Every weekday, I will be giving you NFL news, telling questionable jokes, and swearing just enough so you won't ever be able to listen with your kids in the room or car. I don't ask for a lot, but if you don't subscribe on iTunes, my wife said she will leave me. Thanks, and I look forward to putting my voice in your earholes.
Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup, oh, blocked by James! It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton, some rhythm.
And he got it, young ball continues to wear him out!
Welcome to the Chasedown Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Rowan, reunited with my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
I'm tapping on my mic. I'm back, baby. Dear Evan Hansen was wonderful, but you had a lovely co-host in my stead, and Chris Herring from 538. We are just big stat nerds now between Herring and Partno.
Yeah. I feel now, no, we got it out of the way. So here's how it works, Carter. We got it out of the way. We brought on two stat experts in the off season. Now we don't have to talk numbers for the rest of the year. We can just talk what we see with our eye test. Jetty Osman has made the leap no matter what happens. How the sex man is. Have you seen his workout video? I know you're going to mock me for getting excited about.
Oh, wait, you're serious. Fuck.
I am.
No, yeah, it's awesome.
He got thick. He got thick, Carter. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm serious about. He filled out a little bit.
Paul's fixed his jumper, too.
Listen, a fixed jumper is a little different than a guy that is no longer concave in the chest. He added some strength, and that makes me feel a little bit better about his defensive potential.
Hell yeah, brother. That is the kind of stuff that you kind of can't help but get a little caught up in, just the physical changes that you're hoping to see from one of the weakest players in the league last year.
Right.
And yeah. No insult to him, but he just got bodied pretty regularly.
I think that's the sort of thing you can actually take away from those videos. Like Dion Waiters hitting shots over a broom isn't really going to tell you a whole lot. A guy adding weight or losing weight to the point where it's visible, I think that's something that's meaningful. I mean, it was even meaningful for Dion Waiters with the Heat when he got into shape very, very temporarily.
Well, apparently he's back in great shape, you dick. So
I said, hey, it's probably still temporarily. Maybe he just doesn't want Jimmy Butler to beat the hell out of him.
That's fair. Point is, I missed you, buddy. It was thanks for holding it down while I was at a Broadway musical. Like a real badass.
I like in our Discord chat, you had said what you were going to go see, and it didn't even register for me that was a musical. I am not very cultured, apparently. I thought, oh, is that some sort of video game nerd that you're going to go see a seminar with? I had no idea. I didn't know who this Evan Hansen was.
Well, he was a fictional character. Anyway, so as we were talking about how we were going to talk about on this podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here thinking, well, we've talked about just about every conceivable angle at this point. And I realized what the problem is. I forgot how long the off season is when your team doesn't make the playoffs.
Yeah. We're a little out of practice when it comes to filling time from what was it, like middle of April to now?
Oh, jeez. It has been 5 months, Justin. Well, just garbage.
You know what? I was just thinking. I don't think it didn't feel too long. I'm very, very excited though. Like it is right around the corner. Within a week or two of the Cavs playing their first preseason game, we're going to get some preseason games next week starting up. I hate
Wait,
how much
next week.
What
Is next week? I thought it was 2 weeks for preseason.
I think the China games. I think there's some next week.
Be still my heart. It's gambling Christmas for me. I got to make up for all the money I lost on Team USA.
Which, I mean, we never decided on what the my reward was going to be for being right on that.
Well, thank God.
But I was very, very right. So I think you're going to have to buy me a jersey when I'm down in Ohio. I think
that's, couldn't agree less, Justin.
I think that's
agree less. I'm already out enough. I've already paid my penance.
Well, for all of our new listeners here, do you want to give away your secret for gambling in the preseason? Because I do find it interesting.
So a lot of people, Justin, will tell you that, you know, every time someone thinks they have an epiphany as a gambler, it's like, that's like the number one, like, fool's gold early on in gambling. Like when you first start betting on sports, as you go, I think I found a market inefficiency. Well, let me tell you something, buddy. I'm 5 years into my gambling career and I found a market inefficiency. And it's held true for the last 5 years to the point where you got to believe at this point. And it is. In the NBA preseason, odds makers set lines as though everyone's trying to win the game and everyone is playing all their guys the same amount of minutes. So like if you know, the Clippers at full health play the Hornets, they might be 12 point favorites. Now, Kawhi Leonard might play 15 minutes. Paul George might play 15 minutes.
Yeah. So I would be pretty surprised because they don't think he's going to be ready for the start of the year.
I'm just using it as an example, Justin. Yeah. Hold your horses. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you take every underdog that is plus 200 on the money line. That's 2-1 odds for our newbies. And you just bet them blindly because you only have to hit like 40% in order to make a killing. And you only have to hit like 30% to break even. It's nonsense. I don't know who's setting these lines.
Oh,
but
man.
If anyone else figured it out, I think the game would be up and I'd be alone. I have had three straight years of different bookies texting me during preseason and saying, what the fuck is going on? You're taking all my money. It's a foolproof system, Justin. And
I'm shocked.
I've never believed in something more.
I believe in you a little less because I can't believe that you actually bet. I thought this was all strictly entertainment purposes. Isn't that illegal in the United States, Carter?
Oh, that's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. That was a little bit of a flub just because I'm so excited about the idea.
I mean, me personally, the only time that I'm betting is with my bookie. I only bet with my bookie with the promo code BlueWire, but that's just me.
Well, of course, and I'm sure our friends at MyBookie are posting the juiciest preseason lines.
Oh, absolutely. But you know who isn't really in the mood of making bets and laying down some money right now in the future?
Can I guess? The Boston Celtics?
That is right. The Boston Celtics. Like
we talked about this ahead of time.
Oh, my goodness. But you saw my transition coming. The Boston Celtics do not want to extend Jaylen Brown. That was kind of the news that it was unlikely that they were going to come to a contract extension. And that got us thinking. That got our Discord buzzing about whether or not Jaylen Brown would be a name that you'd want to throw some money at, because the Cavs do have over $50 million in cap space. And as a team that's not really a free agent destination, I think a lot of people kind of predict that the Cavs will go the Nets route of trying to be a shit disturber in restricted free agency, throwing contracts at promising young players, maybe overpaying, but hoping to just kind of restock that cupboard. And whether or not Jaylen Brown would be interesting, it is funny that the Celtics went from basically telling Brown or telling the world that Brown is too good to trade for Kawhi Leonard, but when the time comes to actually pay him, they have a little bit of hesitation. So, Carter, would you have that same hesitation when it comes to paying Jaylen Brown? Is he someone that you think would be a nice little fit for the Cavs?
Listen, anyone who can't take Jock Landale off the dribble in international play would put the scare into you about throwing big money at him. You know, and I do want to briefly add a quick caveat just in case anyone gets confused. Cavs do not have $50 million in cap space right now. They will have it at the end of next season, which is when they train these guys, just to be clear.
Yes.
Thank you. For anyone, we'll have to involve them sending out some salary. You know, the thing about Jaylen Brown that kind of makes me nervous is we were also in our podcast Discord, which you can get into by reviewing the pod and sending a screenshot to chasedownpod@gmail.com. Someone suggested kind of a similar version of the of some J.R. Smith contract dump trades that we were looking at, where the Cavs took back Justice Winslow for Kevin Love. And right. I kind of said, like, you kind of joked because, you know, I love making fun of the Heat and making fun of Heat fans for their annual Justice Winslow's taking the leap narrative that they push. But I do actually quite like Justice Winslow. And I like a player like that being added to the Cavs core, because if there's one thing that this team has a bit of a weakness in, is that its backcourt, while individually talented scorers, are not well reputed for being great playmakers. So if you're looking at a guy like Justice Winslow, like, that's a guy who can functionally play point guard while also holding down the small forward position. I don't think Jaylen Brown has that kind of creative skill off the dribble. I think he's more of a play finisher than a play starter. And honestly, I'm just, I have similar reservations to the Boston Celtics at this point. I think the jumper that we thought was there after a really strong playoff run is not there. And without that, he doesn't have a ton of juice off the dribble creatively. He's really a straight line driver. And I just, if that's who he is, then I don't see the point.
I think you raise a lot of really fair points there. And I mean, people do say right now that the Cavs have too many ball handlers. So adding a guy that still looks down when he dribbles might be something that could address that concern. I would be pro offering him a contract just because he is a proven defender at this point. He has good size on the wing, which does address a need. I do think, realistically speaking, and I was joking earlier when I said that they wouldn't want to trade him for Kawhi, but they do have a lot invested in him, and I'd be stunned to see them not match an offer. Like, no team can pay as much as they can. So I think if he signed a restricted free agency offer with another team, if he signed that offer sheet, they would match. And I do kind of like screwing with Boston in that way.
Yeah, but the reality is, sorry to interrupt, but like, the reality is they don't have a lot left on this roster. They kind of gutted everything for Kemba Walker. So you look at the core of this roster right now, and it's Kemba, Jason Tatum, who I would say is probably the asset they prize most, Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward.
Which it is still so remarkable that this team, they had such a bright future, and obviously Kyrie played some role.
To account for that.
It's hard to account for that, but at the same time, they also, and they've skated on this, they also did the exact same thing as the Lakers, where they wanted to play for the future and win now. And you can't really do that. You can't say, I don't know if we want to go all in. I don't know if we want to trade for Paul George. I don't know if we want to trade for Kawhi Leonard.
I remember excoriating Danny Ainge for not trading for Paul George. Like, that just seemed like a no-brainer.
Right. Which is why I feel okay about saying this now, is we were very, very consistent on this. Like, it made no sense at all. It's the whole mystery box thing, right? Like, get the boat, take the damn boat. And they didn't do that. And I think treating all the players as assets led to the exact same thing that happened in LA, except there isn't a scapegoat like LeBron or Magic or
Paul. You know what's so weird, though, is that somehow they managed to treat everyone like an asset and bother everybody while also not going through it. Because at least the Lakers went through with it.
Yeah. The Lakers eventually did. I mean,
I guess their scapegoat is Kyrie. Like, you can just put everything on Kyrie, and even the players seem to not much care for Kyrie. That seems to be the consensus. Mm-hmm. So maybe Danny Ainge avoids some of that. But I guess to go back to the point we were making about why you should challenge them with a big offer sheet is, if they lose Jaylen Brown, their young core is just Jason Tatum.
To some extent. I do like Langford. I think the
– come draft on. He doesn't even have a picture on ESPN.com yet.
That's fair. Like, I think they drafted some guys, and unless –
Yeah, you so, get some mid-round first that you hope could turn into good role players.
Right, right. And unless they are kind of unexpected with their growth, where you get kind of that Pascal Siakam type late in the draft, sure. They're likely not going to be a foundational piece. I just don't want to completely rule it out. Like, they do have other young players.
But in terms of core.
You're right. You're right. Absolutely. The guys that they have talked up as being part of a future core, it would just be Tatum, which he hasn't really shown tons and tons of growth yet. I mean, he's entering year three, so that's not necessarily abnormal. But I do think that's a fair point. I think that they would match any offer. But I think that is the right type of mindset. Like, when I'm looking at the Cavs, that's the type of move that I would like to see them make. I'd like to see them throw an offer at him. I'd like to see them test the market with Sabonis, whether that be either through a trade. Like, I think if they were to move Love, which there seems to be some sentiment that there is a market out there for Love. You know, Zach Lowe mentioned that he thinks that there's going to be a market for Love and what he can provide. Mark Stein kind of implied that Love seems to be a lock to be moved at some point this year. So someone like Sabonis, either through restricted free agency or through a Love trade, that'd be a guy I'd target. Brandon Ingram would be interesting as a restricted free agent, depending on how this season goes. Montrezl Harrell is a
Ingram fits that role as like a bit more of a playmaker. That makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah. No, and he makes, you can tell, so he doesn't have a lot of weight on him. And I mean, obviously I'd have to do a 180 with a lot of my jokes of Brandon Ingram, but I feel okay with it. At least I've said that I feel like out of the Lakers young guys, he's the one that has some all-star potential, but he has length. He's shown some signs of playmaking. He's a good defender. So at least he's addressing that need. So those would be the type of guys that I'd like to target. It's a bad free agent crop. A lot of teams are going to be waiting until if they do have space, they're going to be waiting until the following offseason to go after some of those big names. So I think that does open up a market for the Cavs, who aren't going to be a free agent destination and kind of have to build this a little more organically.
Yeah, I think this is a good reason to keep their powder dry and trading Kevin Love if they are interested in doing so. Mm-hmm. Because you have to figure out a little bit more about what you have in your core.
Yeah.
Because if you're looking to trade someone like a Sabonis or a Brown, so you can just get out ahead of restricted free agency, mm-hmm. then you have to know kind of what roster you're dropping them into. You know, I mean, no one wants to acknowledge this, nor do I think it's likely, but there's a world in which Darius Garland comes out and is terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, players bust all the time in the top five.
Right.
Happens pretty regularly. Like, maybe Colin Sexton doesn't take the leap we were hoping, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, they should definitely not be adding big money to their books because mm-hmm. this no. core isn't where it needs to be. So I think, like, plus I mean, barring him really not being good anymore, which they should know, like, Kevin Love should only help his trade value by actually playing this season.
Yeah, and I think we should address this now before we head into the season. I'm sure it'll come up once again when we do kind of our bigger season preview. But I want to discuss the Kevin Love trade angle now and just kind of squash this. Neither of us are in favor of trading him for nothing, to trade him for cap space, to get the contract off the books. That doesn't make a lot of sense. If Kevin Love does want out, I think it would be a situation where he's talked to the Cavs, said, you know what, I would be comfortable with being moved. I don't think that's something that's going to get ugly. I think that Kevin Love understands that even if that was the route he wanted to go, he's probably going to have to show that he can be healthy, that he can still contribute. He's going to need to go out there and play. And I think this season is a really good opportunity both for him to help the young core, because at this point now the Cavs have five young guys that are worth developing, in my opinion. And having him and Tristan and Nance around as leaders, they need to capitalize on that while they're still here. And for him to go out there, be a strong leader, be a good teammate, show that he can be healthy, show that he can still play, benefits the Cavs now. It benefits him. whether he wants to move on or if he wants to continue with that leadership role in Cleveland, depending on how the season goes. So I don't think it's going to be something where the situation gets ugly, it gets toxic, and he's forcing his way out in that method. And if he is moved, it's going to be something that benefits both sides, where they're getting a young player back, they're kind of restarting that timeline a little bit, and it's sending him to a situation where he can be a little more successful on the court.
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of almost hard to do a podcast segment about this because we are pretty much of one mind on this. Like,
no, absolutely.
We really like Kevin Love when we like him on this team, and we think that he raises the confidence of the roster around him when he's on the floor. I mean, anyone with two eyes could see how much better the Cavs looked after he returned from injury last season.
Yeah.
Like, ultimately, it was so hard last year to really understand how anyone was developing, because that's how low the wide angle competence was. So when we talk about raising the Cavs floor, it's not because we want to win four extra games, though, you know, it's more fun to win than to lose. It's because it's hard. It makes it easier to evaluate a Garland, a Sexton, a Jetty, a Windler, a KPJ. It makes it so much harder to evaluate them when they're not in a real NBA ecosystem. I mean, how often have we said this about players in the Suns the last couple of years, the players in the Kings the last couple of years? Like, those were NBA wastelands and still are in some cases. And that's kind of what the Cavs were for a lot of last year, just playing out the string, not building towards anything. And Kevin Love allows you to at least play NBA basketball and see how our guys that we're looking for to lead this team 4 years from now fit in an NBA ecosystem.
Right. And it was funny. Matt Moore had asked, basically he's doing his over-under column, and the Cavs line is set at 23.5. So just to get the over, we need to be 5 wins more than last season. And Sam Vecenie was saying, well, maybe with Beeline they can get closer to a top 15 offense. When Kevin Love was on the floor, they did have a top 15 offense last year, which seems hard to believe. I mean, obviously it's a smallish sample size to some extent, but I do think that there's just more talent on this team. And it's really great to see that the well hasn't been poisoned already with the season. Like, I think there was some of that last year where you had the tension of a lot of guys that were brought in to be mercenaries for LeBron and they're on their way out. But you see with the kind of dialogue and the camps that Kevin Love held with Tristan Thompson, Larry Nance Jr., the young guys all there, they seem excited about this opportunity. And even if it is just to showcase themselves, there seems to be a level of bias.
Lowe and Reddick, Zach Lowe and Reddick's podcast where they talked about this?
No, I didn't. But
it bummed me out. Reddick was like, yeah, it's clearly just so people can like post that they're being leaders and sharing like workout vids. And I was like, fuck. How awesome it is and how much it helps team chemistry. Though I think anything like that helps team chemistry.
Well, again, I'm comparing it to the alternative of already unhappy, checked out, just get me the hell out of here. That doesn't seem to be the case with these guys. And as I said, even if it's just to showcase themselves and get their names out there and get moved, at least it's helping the Cavs at the same time. And that's encouraging to see. I don't know if you saw Kevin Porter Jr.'s tweet sharing Lindsey Gottlieb's story. Apparently they seem to have some sort of relationship where I guess through college, I don't know what the specifics of that relationship are, but they seem really excited to work with each other. And there just seems to be a level of buy-in.
And plus, to me, Windler that's and KPJ are playing Fortnite together on Twitch.
Oh man, I like it, man. I like it. I don't care.
Play a better game though.
Let's not get into our Twitch 2K showcase. That was pretty. That was pretty
pathetic, like one could argue.
I still won, so that's the good news. But I don't know, man. This stuff at least right now, this is good September. This is good September vibes for me. And that's all I really want. Sell me hope. I know there's not going to be success, so sell me hope.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it too. I mean, even if some of the stuff is more for show, I'd rather see it than not see it. I think that's the kind of the right angle to take. And this is a young team. But I will say, I don't get almost any negative vibes from these young guys. Like, you know, our dear network friends at Blue Wire or at Sam and Andy have somehow made their love of the game or love of the fame.
Oh my God.
Thing a phenomenon, which branding geniuses, those dicks. But you know, I don't see a lot of love of the fame guys on this Cavs team for the most part. Like, yeah, you'll see some highlight videos and stuff, but like for the most part, like I just think about a guy like Colin Sexton who,
he's been held hostage for a few social media videos. Have you noticed that lately? Like they're making an attempt to get him out there. And that poor guy
does not want to.
No, it's not natural for him.
I've heard tell that he doesn't really even run his own Twitter account and stuff. Like he really just wants to play ball for the most part. And like, you know, you just see guys like that who are actively working on their game. Everyone talks about what a good teammate Jetty Osman is. You know, Tristan Thompson has always been given a lot of credit as a consummate professional. Like this team I'm not saying they're in a much better spot than the Suns, because the Suns have DeAndre Ayton and they have Devin Booker, two hugely talented players that are better than anything the Cavs have to offer right now in terms of three, four years from now. But, you know, all the time you hear from those guys, all these red flags, and you just see terrible habits forming. And then you look at the Cavs, who, while at a talent deficit, at least seemed to be forming some decent habits last year, right. At least on the offensive end of the ball. And I think that they have prioritized good guys that like basketball, and I do think that matters.
Yeah, that seems to be important. I mean, I'm interested to see how things look with Beeline as well. Who knows? Maybe some of this is just the fact that the Cavs don't have a beat writer, so we have nobody.
Yeah, we got nothing, baby.
we got nobody scooping the deep dark secrets of this team. But who knows, man? Maybe it's going to look better. Maybe I know you just negatively compared this team to the Suns, and
compared them to the Suns.
Well, no, from a talent standpoint. I don't understand that, because to me this looks like a playoff team. But you know what? Maybe they're going to look a little bit better than you expect. And listeners want to look a little bit better, Carter, do you have anything that might be up their alley there?
Well, a few of us on this show or in our podcast network, and specifically the two of us, use Harry's razors. If you visit their website, you can check out all the different shave sets and face care products. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your special offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. Harry's founders were just two regular old guys, just like me and Justin, except not nearly as poor. Two regular guys that are tired of getting ripped off and paying for overpriced razors. Harry's makes quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade. If you don't love your shave, just let them know. They'll give you a full refund. This summer, refresh your wallet and your face with a Harry's trial set. It comes with weighted ergonomic handle for an easy grip, the easiest grip you've ever seen, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade for a close shave, rich lathering shave gel. I'm a huge fan of it. It'll also leave you smelling great. And of course, our favorite, the travel blade cover. Keep your razor dry, easy, on the go. Put it in your travel bag, not have to worry about it, not worry about all that gunk that can get on it if you just toss it in there. Oh, it's beautiful. Listeners of our show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/bluewire. Make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your offer and let them know that we sent you to help support the show.
Absolutely. And when you're feeling good, when you're looking good, you might feel a little bit more confident, feel like you can make some money betting on sports. At the end of the week, it's gambling, as Frank Reynolds would say. At the end of the week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sports book. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And MyBookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play and where you should too. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. So do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year.
And let me tell you, Justin, the parlay is really the move here. Teasers, they're for suckers. Don't listen to Bill Simmons and Sal on their podcast with their little teaser pool. That's just a way to pain. Parlays all the way.
That's right. Listen to my degenerate co-host and go. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code BlueWire to activate the offer. That's promo code BlueWire. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Carter. So
I want to note before we move on, because you know one of my great passions is ad read copy.
Yes.
Oftentimes, I have listened to podcasts that have done MyBookie reads, and they often switch the where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. They'll do who you're betting on is just as important as where you're betting. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very ruinous to the copy. It doesn't work that well if you flip it.
Well, I'm not a good listener and I'm not a good reader. So even if they did change it up on me, I'd probably just go with muscle memory.
No, this is not I did not think this is on MyBookie. I think this is on, ad readers such as ourselves that sometimes scam and don't really do the full deep dive. But we would never do that on an official recording.
I would be a prime example of that. And
you flip stuff all the time. That's kind of your trademark.
It really is. I'm profoundly bad at reading. You also got me distracted in the middle of the read when you did the Frank Reynolds reference. Do you got a Halloween costume picked out?
No. Well, here's the thing, Justin. I don't know if you've heard, but my wife is with child. And that opens
Who's
up
the father?
A world of couples costumes that we have to now navigate and get approval. That's my least favorite part about being married, I think, is the couple's costume negotiation. Because I don't care that much about Halloween. So I really want to just slap something together last minute without accounting for anyone.
I'm not the most enthusiastic for Halloween.
She's just a couple costume gal. I don't take her as one.
No, but she is a big Halloween person.
I do take her as that, but I don't think she was like, we have to do something together.
No, but we did end up doing something together this year, and it is an Always Sunny thing. I got the Dayman costume, and she is the Nightman.
Oh, that's a good costume.
Yeah. I ordered it off Amazon, so that's pretty easy.
No, that's weak. I like it when you ask me questions so you can tell me something.
Well, I told listen.
That's why you asked. You didn't ask because you were interested in my costume.
Well, no, exactly. It was a transition because you got me thinking about Frank Reynolds in the middle of the ad read.
Gambling.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for listening to the setup.
Toboggan.
Ah, man.
Dad, I've told you my bit about him, right? About that episode.
Please tell me.
So as you'll recall, that's the Dennis system episode. And then the Mac system is introduced, which is moving after completion. And then Frank gets, and I quote, the scraps. Now, Frank's method is to show, to flash a bunch of Magnum condoms in his wallet mm-hmm. and a wad of hundreds. Mm-hmm. So they know he has a monster dong, also yes. quote. Now, he lays that out as the plan, but when he actually goes to seduce Kaylee, I believe is the girl that is being Dennis'd, mm-hmm. He says he's got a wad of monster condoms for his magnum dong. And I always wondered if that was on purpose.
I don't know, but I I love the screw up, and I don't know
if it's a screw up, but I really want to. If I ever meet Danny DeVito, that's what I'm asking him.
Yeah. Oops, I dropped my monster condom that I use for my magnum dong.
Just the monster condom and magnum dong is the funniest set of words. Oh, I love that episode. It's so good. Isn't that Glenn Howerton's like wife in real life? The girl he Dennis's?
I think it might be. Yeah, it was. And then the waitress is...
it's Charlie's.
Yeah, it's Charlie's.
The other line from that episode that I use all the time, but no one ever gets it because it's in the weeds, is they're eating pizza in Dennis's room, and she says, "The pizza's good." And he says, "You're the one that's good." And that's probably enough for them to hook up.
Oh, man. What a great show. What a great show. And obviously you didn't use any monster condoms because you are now with child.
No, I didn't at that time.
Oh, man. Speaking of children, young players for the Cavs to throw contracts out. We talked about it. I went through the list. Man, that is not a good transition.
It's just fine.
Yeah, it's a little rough. Did any of those names kind of jump out at you?
Yeah, let's play a little impromptu game here, Justin.
Okay, so we talked.
I already have a plan. Let me set it up, bro.
Fine, go for it.
So you did your due diligence that I did not do in looking at some restricted free agents next summer. And I just want to gauge your interest as I run through them on a scale of 1 to 10.
Okay.
And throwing a big bat offer sheet at them. Mm-hmm. So let us start with Pacers forward, Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah, I'd be pretty excited at that. You look at his
per 100. I didn't hear a number, Justin.
I'd put that at about an 8. You look at a lot of his per 100 possession stats, and it looks kind of similar to young Kevin Love. I would be very, very pro adding him. I think
you only add him in a trade with Kevin Love, though, in a weird way.
No, and I think that would make sense for both teams, honestly. Yep. Like, you get a 23-year-old center slash power forward in Sabonis that fits well both on court and also from an age standpoint with the young Cavs. You also are getting a proven asset, which I think is huge. Like, we've talked about Cavs getting another lottery pick and trying to add some guys, but that's a lottery ticket. It's a literal lottery ticket. Whereas with Sabonis and adding some of these free agents, I think you want to get someone that's really proven. And that would be a requirement for me in a Kevin Love trade. I don't want the best asset to be a draft pick or a guy that hasn't really played. I want some sort of proven asset that can theoretically fit with Darius Garland and the rest of the young guys.
I tend to agree with you. Let's move on to Montrezl Harrell, because I'll drop a big fat 0 on this one.
I'm going at a 7. I like Harrell.
Oh, come on.
Not for a huge offer, but he's an unrestricted free agent, and I really, really like him. I'd like to sign him. I'm very pro Harrell.
There's 1,000 players who can do it. Montrezl Harrell does for bad teams.
But he was on a good team last year.
Yeah, that's fine.
He was good on a good team.
Yeah, making the money he made.
And he plays defense.
Barely. Ugh. He is a glorified Tristan Thompson.
You know what? At Carter, if you're listening to this, and tell him how wrong he is. I'm sure you won't do that to me because I'm clearly right. Continue, Carter.
All right. I don't have much on Harrell other than I'm not that interested. I just think this team already has invested some into the center position. I don't think that this league is moving in a direction where investing in centers is particularly fruitful unless they are top 3 at their position, maybe top 5.
He's probably more of a power forward, right?
No, he's not. He can't shoot. He didn't make a shot outside of 3 feet all year. He's a center.
Okay, fine.
He just has to be. I'm sorry. Here's a more interesting one that I am of several minds about, but I'd like to hear what you think. Bogdan Bogdanovic of the Sacramento Kings, who should be more free than maybe he should be, given their relative spending spree this summer and upcoming decision to make on Buddy Hield.
Yeah, I think that he's basically a lock to change teams. I was listening to Zach Lowe, and he was basically saying that they are going to throw a massive contract at Buddy Hield. There's no chance that he is not in their plans. And Bogdanovich kind of seems like the odd man out. That's a guy that I'm really excited. I don't think he's going to be super expensive, but he's kind of that 2-3 that can really kind of cover a lot of positions. He's fairly sound defensively. He's not spectacular, but he's
a lot. A little small. I think he's a 2 more than anything. Like, I think if you sign him, you are signaling the end of the Sexland backcourt era. Like, on a team that's good, at least.
Yeah, my only thing is, what could bring this down to a zero is if Jetty Osman plays, let's say he plays offensively like he did from January on and takes a step forward defensively, and Windler looks good and Kevin Porter Jr. looks good. At that point, I just think you have too many minutes already kind of allocated to those guys that are a lot younger and that are probably more of your future and already have built some chemistry together. So,
but the chances of all those guys hitting, or even more than one out of the 4 wings,
I mean,
is pretty low. I mean, like,
I don't know. My 2K research says that they're all studs. So I'm just saying in the event that those guys look good, I would be a little more cautious with throwing an offer. I guess another guy we need to talk about with extensions is Jetty Osman. I think we're both kind of pro a team-friendly extension there, but that would also kind of weigh into the decision-making here with Bogdanovich.
Sure, but ultimately, I like the player. I think he's talented. I think he's underutilized in Sacramento,
mm-hmm.
and would not have the same problem in terms of ball dominance from his point guard, because like, I think as good as Fox was last year, he kind of put a ceiling on Bogdanovich. Because yep. Bogdanovich is a really creative on-ball playmaker. Mm-hmm. I think that's a guy who, on his second team, you'll be like, oh, how the hell did they get him? I mean,
yeah. He is sneaky old. He's sneaky old.
Yeah. In worst-case scenario, though, I think a decent comp for him, and maybe not one that people are going to like, is Evan Fournier. Like, Fournier was kind of under the radar, and then the Magic picked him up, threw a lot of money at him to do it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you don't have to throw quite as much money at Bogdanovich as the Magic did relative to the cap at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if that's your worst case scenario as a Fournier type player, like Evan Fournier is not the reason the Magic haven't been good the last couple of years, you know?
Yeah. And Bogdanovich is the type of player that I want Jetty Osman to be, you know, like that solid 14 yeah. points per game guy, gives you about 4 assists, can shoot from 3. He's a nice player. Like I think he fits basically any team.
Yeah, cocky as hell. I like players like that. Yep. Let's keep moving, though, because we are moving near an hour runtime on a podcast. I didn't think we'd have anything to talk about. I always am astounded by our ability to bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Otto Porter.
This is out. You're out?
Yeah, because I think the amount of money – I mean, maybe throw a sheet at him because the Bulls are the kings of the sunk cost fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, like, that's a guy who has a lot of the same problems as Jaylen Brown, better shooter, but a little bit older, if I recall correctly. And
so, yeah, he's the same age essentially as Bogdanovich. He's a little bit younger.
I just worry about his creativity on ball. It's just not there. And like, I think with guards who like to shoot, he can disappear, and mm-hmm. the Cavs got those.
I think that
gives me the willies.
I think Otto's going to have a breakout season this year, and that's going to take him out of this conversation. I think he showed a bit of that with the Bulls last year.
Yeah, I thought he was good with the Bulls for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I just pulled up his stats. So you're looking at 18 points per game, shot 48% from the field and 49% from 3. He's a 40%, 41% three-point shooter for his career. He's a good defender. He has a high field goal percentage as well. Like, this is a guy I would throw, like, $25 million at if I'm the Cavs, just because, I mean, they're just short on talent, and this guy is an absolute perfect fit. Some of that might also be – yeah, so he's a year younger than Bogdanovich. He just turned 26. Some of this is also – me wanting to go back to what I had said pre-draft and when I was advocating for Otto Porter to be the Cavs' number one overall pick. And I just like being right, and I like hearing myself talk, and getting Otto on this team, I think, is a perfect fit. Honestly, he makes more sense if, let's say, this season's a little more successful than we anticipate. Kevin Love stays. He's happy. If you're adding Otto Porter Jr. to a team that does have Kevin Love, and let's say Tristan Thompson stays healthy in this hypothetical as well, like, all of a sudden you're talking about a pretty good team. Like, I think that that's a good starting lineup. I'm obviously also making the assumption that Darius Garland and the other young guys are good, but I think he makes more sense.
You've been doing that a lot lately.
Yeah, I am doing a lot of that, but hey, it's hope trafficking season still. And yeah, if Kevin Love is still on the team, I think Otto makes more sense.
Yep, I think so too. I think you're right in kind of diagnosing that if he's bad, then the Cavs shouldn't throw money at him. And if he's good, the Bulls will pay to keep him. So it's probably not in the cards. We already talked a little bit about Brandon Ingram, so I want to close out on a Derek Favors. And my problem with Derek Favors is the same thing as Montrezl Harrell. I just don't want to invest in centers.
Yeah. I like him. I would sign him. I wouldn't throw a lot of money at him. So I guess you're...
That's a player you can replace for $7 million a year with several big men. Like, what did Ed Davis get in free agency? He's about as good as Derek Favors.
I think Favors is a little bit better.
Not to the point that it matters.
Yeah, I'd throw like 220 at him. Like, total.
$220 million. No, I guess. I don't know. I just don't see the point, like, in those guys. Like, it's like...
It's basically just to improve the defense a little bit.
He still can get... The problem with centers like that, where it is like, yeah, he's better than Ed Davis, but if both of them can get played off the floor against certain lineups, then what's the point in paying?
I think that that's still an outdated notion. I really do, now that Golden State's broken up. I don't think there are teams that have five wings talented enough to play centers off the field.
I don't think it's off wings. The floor. I think it's other bigs, too.
Yeah.
Shooting bigs are still around.
I think
power forward position is completely eliminated from basketball. Sands like three players.
I think you're slandering the wrong Utah big. I'm
slandering the concept of ground bound centers. I just think I'm not even slandering them. You know, I love guys like Tristan Thompson. I just think they're, if you have the cap room to do it, eminently replaceable for the mid level exception.
Yeah, I just think he's a veteran.
I'm not saying a minimum center is as good as would help you more than Derek Favors or as much as Derek Favors. It's just like, if I'm going to spend $20 million on a player at this point, it's not going to be a center. Unless Karl Anthony Towns, Jokic, Embiid, et cetera.
Right, which is why I said I'd give him like $10 million a year over
2 years. I thought you were saying 2 years at $20 million a year.
No, 220.
Well, no one's going to... It doesn't matter then because he's restricted, right?
Like, no, he's unrestricted. He's 28.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do that.
this is not our best work. I'm sorry. This is on me. All right. See you guys. Good pod.
Yeah, he's the type of veteran leader guy that you sign him on a short-term deal. He helps out on the defense. Let's say in a universe where Kevin Love isn't there, I think you want to keep kind of cycling guys like that in, where they're good locker room culture guys. You don't want to go full Sixers. You don't want to go full process where you just completely abandon the culture side of the ball. So, or aspect of the game. So he'd be my kind of candidate for someone like that.
You know who else can do that?
Tristan Thompson, pay him.
Yeah. And I'd rather just keep Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
If I can.
No, that would be nice. I mean, Tristan on a team-friendly extension right now would be great. But I think they're going to let that kind of ride out and see whether or not he can stay healthy, which is a recurring theme with these guys. But I can already tell I'm looking forward to our preview podcast, because I can tell that I'm way more optimistic on this team than you are.
Yeah, you're just outrageously, like, you're just too big, man. Just size it down a little.
Now you just sound like my wife. Carter, it's right. So good. That's why I got those Magnum condoms.
Monster Carter. Condoms. Get it right.
Ah, my God. You see, that would have been a great way to dismount there, but I botched it. I'm going to blame you for throwing me off.
It's a botched job. It's a botched toe.
Botched toe. I'm blaming this completely on you. You were rusty. You tried to lead the segment, and it just didn't work. It fell flat on its face, but it is still nice. It is still nice to be podcasting with you again and talking.
Oh, it's always nice, Justin. I love you.
I'm getting really, really, really excited for.
Yeah, me too, bro. You know what? I'm actually at the excitement level where I started a 2K my league with the Cavs and just quit it because I'm like, I don't even know how good these guys are yet. I just didn't want to. I'm too close to it to play pretend anymore, if that makes sense.
Like, oh, no. I'm excited. Like, I've already done my 2K.
Right there, so I can't, like, I don't want to create my own version of Darius Garland. I just want the real one now.
I did go in and I edited Kevin Love's shooting numbers because I was just offended by how difficult he was to use.
I've already traded him for Justice.
Oh my God, you're the worst. They had his mid-range shooting. They had his mid-range shooting at like 65 and his 3-point at 80, and I was just offended by that.
Unacceptable.
I had to crank that up. I got that up to like 75 and 87.
87.
Listen. I'm not an honest man.
Justin probably still makes his own, does his own creative player that's 7'7", that's 99s across the board, like he's 8 years old. That's what I'm hearing right now.
I actually have been, I don't think I've ever done that.
When I was little.
With my Cavs bias, I will find a way to make everybody good, including Kevin Love, which apparently I have to make adjustments for. But anyways, Carter, it's good to be podcasting with you again. I'm excited for the season. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm excited to get training camp pictures. I'm excited for media day. I'm excited for all of it, and we will have all of that coverage here on the Chase Down podcast. Remember, if you want to support the show, the best way to do so is by leaving a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. Find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter, share, tell your friends and family. Word of mouth helps us grow a lot. And if you want to be part of our Discord chat, send a screenshot of your review that you leave for us to chasedownpod@gmail.com, and we will respond with a link to that Discord chat. So thanks again to Carter. Thank you to the listeners. And until next time, go Cavs.